This week is a very special week in the church. In church history, this week is perhaps the most important week. I know we think of Christmas, but perhaps this time is the most important to us. And I thought I'd have a quick look at this week, this day, the day, you know, Palm Sunday, and just think about Palm Sunday and what it might mean to us or may not mean to us. And so if we could think of ourselves going back in time, maybe try and imagine with us 2,000 years, and this day, the week before Easter, was the day that Jesus went to Jerusalem. And it's the day that, in a way, it was the king coming to be accepted or rejected. So the king is coming to the capital to be accepted or rejected. And so imagine yourself there. We might be different people there. You could be a bystander just watching you. It's a big festival. So you imagine now in Jerusalem, this is the one of the biggest festival times that they have in their calendar, going back 2,000 years. And it's their Passover. In a way, it's their national day for some, you know, if you wanted to think of it in a way. I'm trying to think, what would it mean to us? But it's a big day. It's a big week. They're going to celebrate. Lots of people are coming in from everywhere because it's the carnival, or maybe not, because it depends how they thought of it. But it was a big time, a big occasion, and lots of people coming together, and they're going to celebrate coming from Egypt, their flight from Egypt. So they're coming to remember when they became a nation in some ways. So that's... It was a big deal. And in all this, people knew, I mean, a lot of people around and about here probably don't know much of the scriptures now, but a lot of people back then would have known bits of scriptures, and they would have known things like, you know, we are waiting for our Messiah, we're waiting for a Savior to come. Because at that time in Jerusalem, the Romans were the occupying force. They had conquered and they were subject to Roman rule. Now, when I was looking into all this, I just want to read to you, this is a kind of thing that they would have known. So we've been thinking, I'm just thinking back 2,000 years, which is a long time when Jesus was there. But 500 years before that, someone had written this. So this is 2,500 years ago. So this is their scriptures, what they would have known. And in Zechariah, it says this, in 9:9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous, having salvation, gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, they would have known perhaps this scripture, and... what would it have meant to them? They had this scripture in their heads. Perhaps it was one of the things, oh yeah, when the Messiah comes, one of the things is, when we're looking out for him, he'll come riding on a donkey. He'll come to Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And so this is perhaps one of the things they'd be looking out for. Now, that might seem like a bit, it's hard for us to think back to it. So if I put it into modern terms, here we're looking in London, and we're waiting for the Saviour to come. He's going to drive into London in his white transit van. Yeah? Okay, that's the modern version. Or he's going to drive into London in his Ford Focus. Yeah? You think, oh no, Dave, that doesn't sound very religious. But in a way, it's a bit of what... I don't want to sort of blow the thing away for you, but It was probably a very common sight to see someone riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. That was a mode of transport. So in a way, perhaps it wasn't that special. Here he comes riding in. Or, even in London now, you could say, perhaps to make it more visible, here comes the king, he will be riding on a bicycle. You know, I'm trying to just modernize it for us. It might take the mystique out of it, sadly, but in a way it would have been quite an everyday occurrence that they would have seen someone riding a donkey. That was they would have bought their wares and tares to sell. How would they have carried them? Bought them in on a donkey. It was their van. It was their white van of the day. So, but they knew this. Now, if we were waiting for our king to come, or someone special to come to London, how would we expect to see them arrive? Any suggestions? Helicopter, perhaps. Jet. Maybe coming in on a Rolls Royce. Yeah? Something special. Now, back then, what they would have perhaps expected, oh, this king is going to come. They would be expecting him to ride. If they were having an emperor or a king to come in, a white horse, perhaps, or some fantastic-looking thoroughbred horse, all nice stuff on it. So it was a bit special. What the message is here: your king is going to come to you, but he will be very ordinary, almost unnoticed. You know, when he comes, he will be a humble man. Instead of him coming in his Rolls Royce, he's going to turn up in a Ford Focus. Yeah? It was just saying he's going to be a very humble person. He's not going to be the sort of standout, showing off sort of king. He's going to be a humble king who knows, it says, righteous and having salvation. So, when they see Jesus coming on a donkey, now, okay, there was a bit more of a scene because all the people started waving branches, palm trees, chucking their coats in the road, saying, "This is the Savior." Now, here we are, we're there, we're watching, and we're wondering what to make of this. We happen to be there. What's going on? What's happening at this place? Is this the King? You know, we know that he's supposed to be coming on a donkey. Yes, we see him coming. Is it the king? Or is it just another imposter? Because I think there were many people who tried to throw off the Romans and cause the rebellion. And then the Romans would get them, put them in prison and put them to death. And that was the end of it. So here comes another one. And they'd be watching. Is this the one? Is this the Messiah? Then they'd, you know, yeah, well, we've seen him. Do you know, he's just before he arrived, he restored someone's sight. Oh, now you're starting to hear the stories. You know, he's a good chap. This could be the one. This could be the one. And so we're watching and we're waiting to see, is this the man? Now, if our Savior came to set us free from whoever, I mean, I was thinking about this, and I thought the closest thing we have is we're kind of subject to Brussels now. But if someone came to set us free, and they arrived in London, where would they go? Where would we expect them to go to set us free, to throw off, if we were sort of a conquered nation, or wanted to be set free? Where in London might they go?
Government.
Bang on. But where does he go? He goes to the temple. They'd be scratching their head thinking, whoa, why hasn't he gone to the government? So some people would be thinking, he's supposed to go and tell Pontius Pilate where to go, you know. Da, da, da. They're waiting for their savior, their liberator. Wait a minute, he's gone to the temple. What's he doing? Hang on, he's checking all the people out. They're selling the stuff. He's throwing their things around. He's telling them to get out of there. They shouldn't be in there. He's calling them thieves. It's all a bit sort of shocking. And the religious people thought, how dare he do this? He's messing up our religious system. How dare he mess about with our religious ways? And in fact, a lot of the religious people quite happily served under the Roman system. They were doing quite nicely, thank you very much. They could line their pockets and they were doing okay. And this person was coming along, he's messing up our nice little earner. And they suddenly didn't like this, the religious people at the time. And straight away they saw this happen and they plotted to kill him. That's the religious people. They didn't say, this is our saviour, this is our king. We want him. No, what did they do? They saw him do this and they said, how can we kill him? But others were shouting as he arrived, hail, praise him, Hosanna, saviour. There were lots of people shouting this. But the religious ones were saying, we've got to kill him. We've got to get rid of him. He's causing an upset. But they said, we can't do it publicly. The crowds love it. They love him. They love everything he does. So there's one lot thinking this is the king, and one lot saying, let's kill him. Masses of crowds are hanging around listening to every word he had to say. They wanted to hear him say the things that he was saying. You know, I want to set you free from the burdens that you're under. They wanted to hear his words. And the crowds are following him. This is the king. This is our saviour. He's arrived. The crowds are saying this. But the religious people were saying, we don't want him. We want to kill him. He's messing up our system here. And even though there were different ideas and different things, there were two conflicting things going on in this. And this all in this one week, Jesus comes into town. He's welcomed. He's praised. They glorify him. They're shouting, welcome, welcome. And within one week later, what's happening? What are the crowd doing 1 week later? They stirred up to say, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And how things can change within us. We can observe sometimes, this is the God. I'm sure this is him. This is him. And then we have other people saying things, oh no, you know, church, it's all a bit of nonsense. And how do we take our beliefs, our Christianity, our this is the king with us throughout the week? Or do we walk through those doors there and say, yes, that was good then, but now I'm going to be in this crowd now, and just leave our God behind as we walk through those doors, as we walk out of here? Are we saying, yes, I'll have God while I'm in here. I'll have this king to reign over me while I'm in here. But as soon as I go out that door, crucify him. Crucify him within a couple of days. And this is what happened there. Some stuck with him right through, but a whole lot were just turned. They were observers. They knew their scriptures. They had their scriptures. And yet when we can have the scriptures, but it might seem so obvious to us. But to them, they saw these things and they had to weigh it up. And they were turned away within a week. The religious people had got to their minds and they were ready to crucify their king. And you know what? It's kind of, when Jesus came to them, he stopped just at the edge and he looked at Jerusalem and he wept. He wept for the town. He wept for the people. Because he knew that they always seemed to reject the prophets that are sent to them to try and bring a word to them. They reject them. They said, we don't want you. And he wept because, do you know, it's a hard one to say here, but Jesus went there as their king. He went to the Jews to be their king. And he was the most righteous king that would have ever walked in Jerusalem. You know, David was a very good man. He did fail, but he was a very good man. But this was the greater David walking into Jerusalem, and he was going to be and could have been their king if they had all said, we'll accept you, we'll have you as king. But they rejected him. En masse, they rejected him. And it's hard for us to know because we know the prophecies say that he was going to get crucified. He knew he was going to get crucified. He knew the state of their heart. And he wept for them because he knew that he was the answer. And he knew that they could have just accepted him there and then. But they rejected him. And he wept for them. And I don't know about you, but if you see people around sometimes, do you sometimes think, oh, I wish you could have this, I wish you could grasp this answer, this Jesus. I wish you knew what I knew. Now, you know if you just go and tell them, they're going to sort of not accept it. And that's the heart Jesus had. I am the answer for you. And sometimes we see people around and we think, oh, if only you could grasp hold of what I know. He is the answer. And I'm just going to finish now. And we're going to play a song. And if anyone wants prayer or wants to talk about accepting Jesus as King, because this is what I'm going to just going to play a little clip here. You know, come and have a chat. Because Jesus, it's whether we accept him as King or whether we're going to say crucify him. And that's what I want us to take away with us. Is he King? Is he the answer? Not only is he King, back then he wanted to be King of Israel. Now is he going to be King of our lives, but he is going to be the King of Kings. And will we accept him as King of Kings? So I'll just play this little thing. And if you want to come and chat to me afterwards, please do.